It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Jacob Horowitz with a special edition of Amazing Conversations with Naismith Hall of Famer Marv Albert, the voice of the Knicks for almost 40 years and practicing my friend for half a century. Marv, I don't know if you know, you and the late Jim Bouton are responsible for me getting my job with the Mets. It's my 44th year. When I was the SID at Fairleigh Dickinson, I came to you with every cockamamie idea I had, a one-arm fencer, a one-arm soccer player, priest to play hockey, 43-year-old freshman football player, baseball player got hit by a pitch 128 times. You guys ran them all. The Mets at that time were looking for a weird LPR guy, and hence I got hired because of you and Jim. Remember those good old days?
I forgot about that. I remember there was this annoying public relations person.
Yes.
Who would come up with ideas that we felt he made up, actually. But you were successful with it. That was
that's the reason I got hired, because when the late Frank Cash was looking for a PR guy, he was looking for a notwithstanding somebody had a crazy personality, and they showed him all my stuff, and you know, I got hired in 1980, and because of you and Jim, I don't know if you remember, you and Jim were nice enough to come to my retirement dinner at FDU when they said goodbye to me, or good riddance, in the case may be.
Jay, it's been it's always been great dealing with you, because even when there might be tough questions I might ask of one of the Met players, as you may recall, when I was doing a pre and post, I used to get that look from you.
Yes.
Yes, you recall that. But you were always so good about it, and it always ended up with a laugh. You did such a great job. Actually, I know before you called me to do your show, I know you reached out to Steve, but he told you he was busy walking his dog Chompy, couldn't make it. You called out for my brother Al. He said he was busy, and I think you called my son Kenny, who just said no. I mean emphatically, which I think is uncalled for. I'm here and I'm delighted to be.
Well, Barb, what was in the blood of the Albert family? Yourself, Kenny, yourself, Steve, Al, all great announcers. And how proud of you, Kenny. I think the only announcer today does play-by-play in four different sports.
Yeah, I'm extremely, not only proud of the work he's done, but he's such a humble young guy. And, he just handles everything so kindly with people. But he actually went on the road with me quite a bit. I switch off taking my kids to games when I'd be at college basketball or NBA, NBC days. Kenny was my stat guy at the Olympics when we did the Dream Team. I mean, there's so many instances of that. My daughter Denise would go, and son Brian, my daughter Jackie. But Kenny grew up kind of interested in sportscasting and doing it the same way that Al, Steve, and I did. We would turn down the sound on the TV and would have mostly with baseball first, and we would put a crowd record on in the background and would call the game on our tape recorder. Or Al, Steve, and I would be in the basement playing ping pong and would be calling ping pong until Al lost the point and would lose it and slam the racket against the door or against the table, and my mother would yell down, "What's going on?" We say nothing, but and he broke a few rackets along the way. But we would always, I grew up wanting to be a sportscaster when I was in the third grade, and I think that's probably the story of a lot of people who are doing that work. It begins early, and I remember for a teacher by the name of Mrs. Lepowski, an English teacher, I remember writing an essay of what I want. You always have an assignment. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I said I'd like to be calling the Knicks, the Rangers, Maybe baseball. I did a little baseball when I first started. But the Knicks and Rangers, you know, certainly turned out to be. It began in our basement, you know, with a tape recorder.
Mark, let me talk about Willis Reed for a second. You know, the Garden is good. Knicks did honor Willis with a scholarship in March, you know, right. To the black colleges, and, you know, $60,000. And with, you know, what to Grambling. What kind of guy? I know Willis was very special to you, right?
He was a wonderful guy. That whole team, the 69-70 championship team, and then they won again at 72-73. Just a bunch of great guys. Very intelligent team on the court, as we saw. Terrific coach in Red Holzman. It was, you know, Bradley and DeBuscher and Reed and Barnett and Clyde.
I had season tickets that year in the blue seats.
Oh,
with
the
my
blue
good
seat.
Friend Harold Levine.
Okay. Yeah, that was a nice year to have season tickets.
Yeah.
It was a very special team. I remember they won their first five games and they went 21-3. You know, this after many years of having difficulties, but the trade for DeBuscher really added to that group. I mean, he was, at the time, he was a player coach for the Detroit Pistons, actually tried to trade himself to the Celtics once. But Dave was so important. He was, I would have to say, if he and Jerry Lucas played today, they'd be among the leading three-point shooters, leading in that department, because they would take shots from 25 feet out, 30 feet out. But what DeBuscher did for the team was he was that missing part. As good as they were, they needed one more. And that was a great trade. It was Howard Komives and Walt Bellamy, as I recall, for DeBuscher.
So well, tell me about Game 7 in 70. I remember him sitting up there and, you know, is Willis going to play or not going to play? He comes out, hits his first two shots, and Knicks win.
I was doing, aside from doing a game, I was doing a pregame show, and I did an interview with Willis in the locker room. He had taken a shot for his leg because he was out the previous game. He had a bad injury. No one thought he would play. He said to me on the pregame, he'll play. He said that he's going to play. And, you know, athletes will say that. You don't believe it. And so the Lakers take the floor to warm up. The Knicks take the floor, and the crowd is buzzing because Willis was not with them. And then at the very last second of the warm-ups, from right underneath our broadcast booth, it's Willis. And I said, here comes Willis. And the crowd is one of the loudest crowds I've ever heard. You know, and the Lakers all stopped and stared. That was a Laker team of Wilt Chamberlain, also Jerry West, who hadn't won a championship up to that point, as great as he was. It was a really good Laker team. Jim McMillan was on it, I recall. And they just stopped and stared. They couldn't believe that Willis, you know, was going to actually play. And the fans cheered his warm-ups. He took a couple of shots to get ready. That was it, a couple of jump shots. And the game starts, and he hobbles out and hits his first two shots. And it, you know, I don't believe necessarily in inspiration early first quarter, but they played the game of their lives, led by Walt Frazier, and that was underrated because he had 36 points, 19 assists, which was, you know, ridiculous numbers. But they really rolled over the Lakers in Game 7 to win the championship, their first in the NBA.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mark, you've had over 30 broadcast partners. A couple of them that caught my attention were Bill Parcells and Steve Kerr with his background. I mean, Steve was with you before he started a coach, right? I mean,
Right. He was with me for about four years, and we did the NCAA, and we did the TNT NBA schedule. Then he became a general manager with the Phoenix Suns. Then he came back to us for another 4 years, and then became the coach of the Golden State Warriors, and of course had great success.
Did you think he would go on to what he did when he was with you? I mean,
I didn't think anyone would have that kind of success. You know, for four straight years, he's, you know, a commentary on the NBA, and we knew he was a very smart guy. He was terrific with people. He's always great when you listen to him after games, be it about the game or politics, similar to Greg Popovich. But he played for Pop, and I think that was a great influence on the way he would handle players. He was just terrific with the guys and was fortunate, obviously, to have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Yeah. And they built around those guys and won four titles.
How about Parcells as a partner?
Bill, it was so much fun. I know you know, excuse me, Bill, well. He was a terrific sports fan and really knew his stuff. We used to play, he was into the Giants, even then into NFL stuff. This is after his first go-round with the Giants. And, excuse me, he also was a big NBA fan, and he'd come ready in the morning when we'd go out to the stadium on a Friday. He would try to stump me on initials of NBA players. And he would actually do research on this. But he knew his stuff with other sports. He really did follow a little bit of hockey, but mostly
he's NBA. A big baseball guy, too. He loved baseball.
Yeah, he did know. We had baseball matches also.
Mark, which years, I think, did you do the pre and post game with HN? I forget. I mean,
for the Mets?
Yeah.
I was there for the it was late 60s, 69, for the World Series, the championship. In fact, Ron Swoboda worked with me on the air on the pre and post. And it was great to have him with me. And I did it through 72, 73. Then the station WHN changed to Yankee baseball. So I did for the Yankees.
You did the 69 World Series?
Yeah.
What do you favorite Tom Seaver game?
I have more memories of 86 because I was doing pre and post with Bob Costas for NBC. And I can remember the game where Mookie.
The Buckner ball.
Hit the ground ball that went through the legs of.
Were you in the Red Sox locker room too with everybody else?
No, I was actually I was in a Met dugout.
Really?
Because Bob and I would flip a coin before the game to see which dugout, which team we'd cover at the end of the game. So I was in the Met dugout, and I remember Keith left the dugout. He went into the clubhouse.
He was sitting with me in Davey Johnson's office, you know, and I was trying to figure out how we going to explain.
Kevin Mitchell,
we won 114 games and couldn't win the World Series.
Uniform?
He was sitting there, and I was sitting in a chair. We had to go to the bathroom, and after Gary Carter let off for the hit, he said, "Hold it, don't go." So he had his uniform.
This is a lot of good information.
Yeah, he had it. It was unbuttoned. It was really amazing that. We were behind the next day and we won, and you know, that was crazy.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So I know Gary Cohen, all our guys, are big fans of yours. I know Harry Rose views you as a protege. You paved the way for him to hockey stuff, and you were nice enough to do a little thing when Gary and Howard got inducted into a Hall of Fame this year was very much appreciated by them.
I think the Mets are blessed by having the broadcast teams that they have. Of course, Howie I've known from his early days when he was a kid,
right,
and would come up to the station at WHN. So we go back to that. And then I had recommended him to Sports Phone. That's where he started out.
That's where he started, yes.
Yeah. And then he ended up getting a job at WHN doing sports reports and, you know, ended up then eventually with the Mets. But I think he is just tremendous on the air, not because I recommended him. And I think that Gary, Keith, and Ron are easily the best broadcast crew.
Yeah.
Not only locally, but on any level. They are just tremendous. It's a combination of knowledge and humor. And
they get along well together. You know, they've been together for so long.
Terrific. Yeah.
Well, give me the history of the two phrases you're most famous for. Yes, in basketball, and kick saving and beauty in hockey.
Yes comes from when I was a kid playing in the schoolyard. It was a friend of mine who would be, I was kind of shy, but a friend of mine would announce the games as we were playing 3-on-3. There's always someone doing play-by-play. And if he'd hit a basket, he would go, yes. And it was something that came from, there was a referee by the name of Sid Borgia, who was a very, very colorful. Actually, his son ended up as the head of the officials at one point just a couple of years ago. But Sid was very animated in his calls. And if there was a basket scored and the player would be fouled, he'd go, yes, and it counts. So I started using yes just, I guess, early in my career, and it seemed to catch on. Even the players were repeating it to me, you know, at practice or whatever. And it just happened to catch on. I tried not to overuse it, but if it was a big basket, I would use it. Kick save and a beauty, I don't know where that came from, to be honest. It happened to be a good kick save, and it was done beautifully, you know.
Marby, you still follow the Knicks and Rangers closely, I'm sure.
I mean, I do, yeah.
Go to Garden much?
I go here and there, yes, once in a while. I watch a lot of games. I mean, in my retirement, I've become not only watching a lot of sports events, which I couldn't do as much when I was traveling, but I miss the binge TV. I work out a lot. I basically drive my wife crazy. But we share in our binging, TV binging. I read a lot. I read about 5-6 newspapers every day. I'm into politics, and I love, you know, political stuff also.
Yeah, me too. I like to hold a newspaper in my hand. I'm not a Kindle guy, you know.
I like to have the Times and the Wall Street Journal in my hands, but I do go digital with the Post and the News, and I do like USA Today also. So
yeah.
And the LA Times, particularly on the weekends, is good, as is the Boston Globe, their sports section. On the
you
weekends.
Have more papers.
This is too much information regarding reading, but that's it.
Yeah, but I know Howie and Gary are good guys, and, you know, listen, I appreciate our friendship through the years. And honestly, if it wasn't for the exposure that you and Jim gave me, I would still be in colleges, you know. And you know, and when I did the interview for the job, and I listed all my accomplishments, Frank said, yeah, you got to be making this stuff up, right? I said, no, unfortunately, it was true. I almost got fired a couple of times at Fairleigh Dickens because I said I was given the wrong perception of the kind of athletes we had here. Anytime there's something normal on campus, it would come to me. But, hey, Marv, I appreciate our being a friend. You're always there for me. And
same here,
hope to see you out there in Citi Field this next year.
I definitely hope to see more Met baseball summer.